Please stand by.
Hi, this is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. This is Gretchen.
And you are listening to This and That with Jeff and Gretchen. Who is Gretchen, you might say?
Right.
Well, welcome to the studio.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
I'm new to podcasting.
You have never listened to a This and That podcast, you just told me.
That is very true. I have not.
And so what made you want to do this crazy thing?
Well, I think I have something sort of interesting to say that your listeners might want to tune in for 20 minutes or so.
Okay. All right. Well, we normally go for 2 hours.
Well, then you're going to have to talk for an hour and 40.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, what's been going on? We are recording on June 3rd.
Uh-huh.
And it's a Saturday. We'll probably get this podcast out tomorrow. I wanted to say one thing. If you look at my front porch and you go... I look at my crepe myrtles. The crepe myrtles are blooming in Texas. They're at full bloom. This is really weird because last year, the crepe myrtles were at full bloom around June 23rd or so. And I think it means it's going to be really, really hot. There's a picture of it on the blog. So it's already really hot.
It certainly is. I think it's 92 today for the fifth day in a row.
Yeah. And I read someplace earlier this week that they were predicting a hotter than normal summer for Dallas.
Yay. I'm okay with that. I'm new to Dallas. 6 months I've been here, and I've got to say I came from New York, and 6 months of cold weather is not my cup of tea. So I'm looking forward to 6 months of 92 degree heat.
You haven't seen anything yet. Rarely get to the hundreds. So speaking of which, actually, that's a good topic in itself. What do you think of Dallas so far?
Hey, I like Dallas. It's an easy town, and the people are very friendly, and I'm very impressed. I thought I was not going to like it, but coming from New York, where I thought I was going to love it, and I actually found it way too hard, and very hard people, and not very friendly, and this has been a nice change, so I'm actually glad to be here.
And you also spent a significant amount of time in L.A.
I certainly did. 15 years in L.A., which I would consider my home. So going from L.A. to New York, I've certainly seen both of the best of the greatest cities on the East Coast and the West Coast. And
right.
Now Dallas is somewhere here in the middle, and I'm actually liking it.
All right.
So
that's pretty amazing.
Yes, that's what everybody says. You like it?
You like it here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
We're all trying to leave this intrepidly hot city.
Oh, well, just think twice about that. I don't know. Every place has its good points and its bad points.
No, that's very true. Actually, I've grown to like all the good points about Dallas. And you kind of learn to sort of ignore the fact that geography is not that pretty. Outdoor things are hard to do in the summertime. You sort of, you know, hop from one air-conditioned place to the other air-conditioned place.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much how you survive around here. I really wish I had a pool. I think I talked about that in one podcast a while ago. I still wish I had a pool. I'm still wishing for my pool.
But well, I'm thinking I'm going to build a pool, so I'll tell you how it goes.
All right. All right. I hope you do. I hope I can come over. You're going to have it ready soon?
I'm not even sure it'll fit between the trees. I'm trying to save the trees.
Yeah, you got to save the trees.
Mm-hmm.
You got some big trees. That's my problem in my backyard. It's too many big trees, and I want to chop them down. And if I don't chop them down, how does the pool fit in there? And then how do you keep it clean?
That's
how do you keep
true.
All that stuff away?
That's true.
Yeah.
So I haven't talked to the pool guy yet, but once I have some more info on how it's done, I'll let you know.
Well, don't you need a pool before you have a pool guy?
The pool guy to install the pool.
I knew what you meant.
Oh, okay.
I think she's having a little mirage. You think she likes Dallas. Oh, I just got to go talk to the cabana boy and give me my little pina colada. Okay, we've established that you are having hallucinations.
It's because it's hot in here.
It is.
It's like 94 in the studio.
We have to turn the AC off. Otherwise, we'll have AC sounds. And you guys don't want to hear AC sounds while you're on your drive into work, do you?
No, so, instead, they want to hear me sweat.
So we suffer for you. We do it all for you. So, Gretchen, what have you got for us today?
Well, Jeff, when you asked if I'd wanted to talk to your audience, I thought that something that I've been noticing, because I'm kind of a news junkie and I was trained in news reporting, is there's a plethora of news stations out there, and there's a plethora of internet coverage on the news, and most Americans get their news in 30-second sound bites. And I always find it strange that if you flip from channel to channel, you hear the same stories. And how exactly does that happen? And are those stories really what's relevant and what's going on in the world today? Because I think really the most important stories that don't get any coverage because they can't be explained in 30 seconds very adequately are the ones that are really what we don't hear. And that's sort of what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's very true. I mean, every time I've talked about this before, but we have a TV in the break room at my work, and whenever I walk in, it's either on CNN or Fox,
right?
And it's always some car chase because it's fun and you can easily digest it.
Right. Or it's our daily dose of what's going on in Iraq or what's happening at the White House, you know, whether it was the dog strolling across the lawn or Bush flubbing up some other line or, you know, it's always the same thing because those are the regular beats that the reporters cover.
And it's never complex.
And it's not complex.
As you said, it kind of gets in the 30-second, gee, I got 30 seconds to invest in here, and I don't, ooh, once you start talking about something with any kind of complication, you've lost me because I'm just here for 30 seconds.
And it's probably written at an eighth grade level, which is something that we don't often realize, but there aren't
I'm insulted because whenever I read the news, I don't understand it. It's just way too deep.
Well, then I think you're at the sixth grade level, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm working on the seventh grade level. I got the seventh grade primer, and it's going really well. I think I'm almost mastered it.
Well, okay.
Ooh, hear that siren?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so somebody's hopefully being rescued out there.
Yep. Maybe they're dying of heat exhaustion. It's not even in the hundreds yet.
True. Very true. It's about 104 in here, though.
You're measuring it.
Yeah, it feels like my blood pressure is going up. Anyhow, you probably don't know, or because now the way that news is delivered, it's really supposed to be the facts. It's supposed to be who, what, when, where, why, and how. And that's pretty much what you get in the first two paragraphs of any news story.
Okay.
But what we're hearing a lot, especially with the commentators, especially on certain networks, sort of like Fox, they'll tell you the news story, and then they'll cut to their debate with two experts, usually someone on the right, someone on the left, or they'll just go right to their commentator who's going to tell you their opinion. So there's really this fine line and this blurring of mixing editorial with what the real news is. And there are certainly editorial pages and places for opinions, but I just am kind of distressed about how I see it being presented.
You sort of want to be, you know, hey, this is the facts, and now this part is the opinion.
This part is the opinion, yes.
Well, what gets me is whenever I see, and I'm not blaming just Fox, because to me it's CNN too, whenever they do have the two people debating, it's usually extreme and silly people. It's not like two people having a rational, deep discussion about it. It's two people that sort of get to screaming level very quickly.
They often attack each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is, it's really not a great debate.
No,
or sometimes they'll have way too many people and they can't even get them all in.
Yeah.
You know, like, why do we need four people if we're only going to do a 3-minute segment?
Right. And the big thing I've also noticed is that there's a lot of coverage on whatever the big law case is of the day.
Uh-huh.
And do you ever notice?
That would be the Supreme Court beat.
Yeah, but it's not Supreme Court stuff. It's like missing person or whatever. But it's always pretty young lawyers.
Oh, there you go.
Women.
I hadn't noticed
that. They're always commenting. It's always like, gee, here's another pretty blonde young lawyer. Let's have her comment. So the implication is if you're an ugly lawyer, your opinion doesn't matter.
No.
Is that right?
That could be. I hadn't noticed that. I'll pay attention, though.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Yeah, you don't see ugly people.
Well, that's true pretty much.
You see ugly people talking about politics.
Well, you know. Yes, okay, I'll give you that.
There's some pretty ugly people like on Fox and stuff, but boy, you get these legal cases, it's always the young 25-year-old, you know, hotshot lawyer, I guess, or she's really probably a TV personality first.
That's true.
Yeah.
And she just happens to be reporting on what's going on in the courts.
Yeah.
So, would you like to know the news that I think is pretty worthy that we aren't hearing enough of?
Definitely.
Well, I think the first story, it's actually pretty ironic, but do you remember where you were in 1981 and what was top of mind in 1981?
You know, 1981, this is true.
Mm-hmm.
First time I had sex. Yeah, seriously, summer of 81, I'll always remember it. Yeah, there you go. Is that more than you wanted to know?
Thanks for sharing. But it does sort of tie into the topic, which is this is the 25th anniversary of the first diagnosed case of AIDS.
And no.
Who is talking about it? It was 1981, and there were five gay men in Los Angeles, and they were diagnosed for the first time. The disease was actually given a name. And I think it's pretty ironic that we've actually stopped talking about it in the U.S. There is no new news that is particularly worthy here in this country. There's a lot of news happening elsewhere in the world, but we tend to be pretty egocentric here.
Yeah.
And the death rate for HIV cases in the U.S. is going down because we did talk about it quite a bit in the 80s and 90s, and now there's news fatigue. But the statistics are pretty remarkable of what's going on worldwide, and I will say Frontline, PBS's Frontline has done an amazing special, and if anybody has a chance to listen to it or to see it, it's pretty remarkable, and it's just something that it's not going to be solved in our lifetime or our children's lifetime.
It's controlled to some extent. Is it still controlled in this country to some extent? Because like you said, I really haven't heard much about it lately.
No, you haven't been hearing much about it. There are 1 million people in the United States that have it and don't know they have it, which is, I think, pretty remarkable. And it is still...
And how do you know that?
That is true. They don't know.
Big brother. Well, man, you know a lot.
I think you take a lot of statistics classes.
I understand.
You know how they figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. And it is the leading cause of death for people between the ages of 15 and 59 worldwide. And I think we fit into that category.
Wow.
30 million people have died to date.
I do get tested every year, by the way.
Thanks for sharing. That's important. Everybody should.
No, you know what? You got to be open about it. I'm not particularly doing risky behavior, but why not? I go to a physical every year. It's like, yeah, do all the blood work stuff.
That's right.
You want an AIDS test? Why not?
Right.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, there's only four ways to get it. It is preventable, and it's either sex, needle sharing, a blood transfusion, or your mother has it. And those are it.
But check with mom.
If you don't partake in any of those things, it is preventable.
Okay.
So that is pretty remarkable. But where the biggest problem really is that it continues to spread horrifically throughout developing nations. And that's why we don't particularly talk about it a whole lot unless somebody like Bono or Bill Clinton actually goes to Africa and shows you the 12 million orphans that are there.
And what's the real shame about that is that, like it or not, we still are the country in the world, as others reaching us, we still are the country in the world that has resources to really help this problem.
Oh, that's true. And it's been very controversial. It actually is, without question, politics have been one of the driving forces in the spread of this disease. That's actually been quoted by Merv Silverman.
How so?
Because, do you talk about the AIDS cocktail? Well, only rich people could get the AIDS cocktail for a very, very long time. And there was a lot of controversy about the AIDS cocktail was not being given to the people in Africa or India or Russia, and also the governments there were denying that it was even a problem. So it is a really controversial disease. Even Nelson Mandela's son died of it. And that's because South Africa failed to even recognize it for a very long time. So you just wonder, it's not going away, and it's just a very excellent series about, we are going to be living with it for at least another generation.
So if it got more coverage in this country, what effect do you think it would have? Obviously, we'd be more aware, but do you think there would be more?
Don't you think you might give some more money to help the people in Africa? I think I would if I was a little more.
I think what I'd like to see is what are the solutions? What are the things that they've tried that haven't worked? What are the things that they've tried that have worked? My ears would be open, and I would be interested in solving the problem.
And there's more heterosexual women getting it these days, too. It's just very...
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we let down our guard because we stopped talking about it.
Right.
And then you think, it's not as important as it was, but... And there's a great timeline if you do go to PBS's website. You can actually see where it was actually the first case was the first known case of the HIV infection was identified later, but it actually happened in 1959. So it's been out there, and it's interesting that it can all be traced back to a single random incident with a monkey in West Central Africa.
Did somebody do it with a monkey?
I don't think somebody did it with a monkey.
I was wondering about that. No, baby, you always hear about that the young people now, with their MySpace and the cell phones, they're doing these instantaneous hookups where they're just like, hey, I want to hook up. Who wants to hook up? I'm here. Okay, good. Let's go have sex. And it's like, that's what I hear. I don't know because I'm not in that generation. But you know, you hear about this, and like you said...
Well, I hope they're using condoms.
Well, we don't have the... As you said, we're not aware of AIDS anymore, mm-hmm. and I wonder if this means that we're going to have like a, you know, a re-explosion of this in our country, because... Or maybe... Maybe you hear about these cultural things that are happening at the younger generation, but maybe it really doesn't happen that much. Maybe people like to talk, oh, yeah, we have instantaneous hookups all the time.
Well, there's 14,000 new cases a day.
Wow.
So I think you might want to rethink that if you're a young person and you're just hooking up for the evening.
Hook up, but with half condoms.
Right.
And, you know,
and
maybe wait for love.
Yes, that's true. And actually, to correct myself, you were right. It was a single transmission event from a single chimpanzee in West Central Africa to one human.
Oh, you're kidding. Ooh,
so
disgusting.
Well, maybe there was a bite. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that was one of my topics that I thought was really relevant that I don't think we're hearing enough about.
All right.
And what about you?
Well...
what would you like to talk about, Jeff?
Everything
Starbucks?
Everything I have is so trivial compared to solving the world's AIDS issues. I'm going to sound like a weenie butt. But
okay, let's be a weenie.
Here it goes. Uh-huh. All right. This probably doesn't surprise you, but it doesn't surprise me, but I did find it interesting. Dallas, yeah. I have some statistics on this, is the second highest, has the second highest chain restaurant penetration in the country.
I would believe that.
Yeah, no, I know. It's like, no problem believing that, right? Uh-huh. And that's interestingly behind Atlanta.
I would believe that, too.
So we have 2.71 chain restaurants per 1,000 people. More than half of all the restaurants in the Dallas market are chain concepts. Isn't that ridiculous? Half of the restaurants.
And how many have you eaten at?
You know, I just don't eat at chain restaurants much anymore. I mean, it's just not my thing. They also said some study, I can't remember who did this study, said the restaurant sales in Texas are projected to grow 6.7% this year, National Restaurant Association. And that growth rate is the highest in the country. So people are going out more and more increasingly they're picking chain restaurants. And an interesting driving force behind this article goes into all kinds of statistics that are a little bit on the dry side. But what it comes out down to is people are looking for fast, quick, children-friendly.
Mm-hmm. And would you like to hear something that goes along with that?
I would.
For the most part, the food that they serve at these chain restaurants is very...
awful?
Saturated with fat.
Trans
and
fat.
Is contributing to... The story that I wanted to talk about, which is the huge epidemic of obesity in children, because it's not getting enough press. And
Here's my observation. No, that's a great topic. I've talked about this to some extent in this podcast before, but not at a serious level. Here's the deal. Whenever I talk about this, like at work, the health and obesity in this country are epidemics. Mm-hmm. You know, it's costing us a lot of money. It's costing us a lot of death and heartache and all this kind of stuff. You know, people at work, and then they're just my sample. You know, it's sort of like, we just eat too much, don't we? We don't exercise much. And it's kind of a laugh-off.
Yeah.
It's not taken seriously, but it's an incredibly serious thing. Anyways, let me just finish this this real fast. Parties with children account for 38% of all restaurant visits in Dallas, and other major markets average about 35%. Let's see what else is interesting. Zagat did its first Texas survey. People in Texas were very, very like excited about Zagat coming down here. And what they said is Tim Zagat, which I guess is one of the Zagat boys.
Yep. He's the owner.
Is he?
Founder.
Mm-hmm. How would you know that?
I've seen him on TV.
Tim Zagat.
His 30 seconds.
Well, he said the restaurant business of Texas is booming. If you like chain restaurants. No, he didn't say that part. He said Texans are dining out more frequently than Americans anywhere else, and both customers and restaurateurs seem to be on a winning streak. Now, he also said that people from Dallas-Fort Worth average 4 meals out per week, 25% more than the average. And the average cost of a Zagat-reviewed restaurant meal is $28.67. The national average is $32.06. That doesn't surprise me. You know, Texas is pretty cheap.
But it's less expensive. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that, let's go with your topic. Obesity.
Well,
we're both extremely obese, by the way.
Touched on it before. What I thought was interesting about it, this morning at breakfast, I was in one of our popular restaurants here, and there were at least six people just looking around the room that were seriously hanging over their chairs. And I happen to work in an industry that manufactures chairs.
Now, does that include you or not?
Thank you, Jeff. doesn't
I'm
include
totally,
me.
I'm totally kidding. She's very
me.
She's very slender,
oh,
folks.
Oh, my goodness. So, but they were severely hanging over their chairs to the point where it looked like the chairs might burst. And
yeah.
Wouldn't that be a lawsuit waiting to happen for the restaurant?
Yeah.
So
you didn't have chairs that could support my 400-pound frame.
That's true.
It's
that
unacceptable.
But do you remember a couple years ago when we kept hearing about how bad smoking was for health and how much it was going to cost the economy?
Right.
And I think for the by and large, most part, smoking has tapered off because you can't. It's not as easy to smoke anymore. You
right.
can't smoke in restaurants. You can't smoke in bars unless it's outdoors. Big cities like New York and L.A. clearly discourage it. People stand outside in the middle of winter in New York to smoke.
And even traditional places in Europe that are big smoking countries, Ireland and England.
They're still a little bit behind.
Germany, Ireland,
and France, they still smoke like chimneys.
True, but Ireland and England, it's banned from restaurants and even pubs, which is amazing.
Oh, that's true. They did try to ban that.
Yeah.
That's right. But I think what's going to happen in the next coming years is we're going to be hearing about the cost of obesity because we're all going to be paying for it because obesity guarantees bad health. And
well, our CEO of our company this year said, hey, guys, your health cost is not going to go up this year. But I got to tell you, it's our largest benefit cost,
right.
And we simply can't keep it controlled. We're going to obviously have to pass this on to you in the future.
Right.
And he was very concerned. Basically, you could tell he was getting kind of PO'd because it's a cost I cannot control.
Right.
And you tell me, is there any correlation here between rising health costs and the fact that we get fatter and fatter?
Absolutely.
Not just every decade, but every year I've seen a statistic where we keep on getting fatter and fatter.
Oh, in the past 10 years, we've added 100 million people to the world that are severely obese.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
100 million. Goes from 200 to 300 million people who are obese. And
I was just reading a statistic that said something like 70% of all Americans are obese. Not severely obese, but obese.
Overweight.
Overweight, I should say. Yeah.
And then it goes to obese, and then it goes extremely obese.
70%, Gretchen.
That's
unbelievable.
A lot.
Come on.
That's a lot.
Eat less.
And you know what? It happens pound by pound. That's the thing I don't understand. It doesn't happen 20 pounds at a time. It's pound by pound.
Yeah.
So don't you sort of wonder when you get to the point where you're buying another size that maybe you want to look at what you're eating? Because it's guaranteed that you're going to have, down the road, if you're overweight, the possibility of hypertension, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, stroke, and gallbladder disease. It's just not a happy picture for our overweight, especially children now, because if there's a 50% chance that if your child is overweight as a child, they will grow up to be an overweight adult.
Yeah.
And it definitely goes higher. The percentages are higher with Black Americans and Hispanic Americans. And it's definitely tied into socioeconomic levels and level of education. The lower the level of education, the higher the level of obesity. I thought an interesting quote was, for most of evolution, getting enough to eat was a driving force for survival.
Right.
But how many individuals were lost to morbid obesity? That's a doctor at Harvard Medical School was saying that, you know, all we ever wanted to do was try to get enough food, and now we have an overabundance of food, and too many people are overnourished.
And isn't that, though, maybe one of the sort of evolutionary problems is that we are sort of programmed to eat?
We're too sedentary anymore.
Because most of the...
You don't have to go out and kill your food, Jeff. It's killed for you.
That's right.
Brought right to your plate at these chain restaurants.
Yummy. We should go get a bloomin' onion at the... What's it called?
TGI Fridays.
The Bloomin' Onion.
Deep-fried onion. There you go. 4,000 calories.
And deep-fried in trans-laden fat that's hard as a rock.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, all of human existence, I mean, it's a long, long time. Most of human existence, we've had to really...
Go get our own food.
Go get our food. And it's been a struggle to keep fed.
That takes a lot of effort to feed yourself three times a day.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But so aren't we maybe instinctively programmed to eat?
Not as much
survival.
As we're eating, because right now the average American woman eats an extra 333 calories a day.
Wow.
And the average man eats 168 additional calories a day that you do not need.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take that many calories to equal 1 pound. And so you sort of wonder how you pack it on. It's just we have less exertion anymore. Modern conveniences mean you don't even have to get up to change the TV station. Come on. How many remotes do you have, Jeff?
Too many.
There's more indoor
but I use none of them. You know what? I don't even think I know how to operate the things actually on the units. I wouldn't know. I mean, I don't even think they have buttons anymore.
I know, they don't
Do things even have buttons
That's
anymore?
Right. That's right.
You know, if you really wanted to get exercise, I don't know if you could do it.
Well, look at gym memberships. You literally have to go to the gym. How many kids do you ever see playing outside? I mean, when we were growing up, didn't you play outside all day long and your mother never even knew where you were?
Of course. Oh, we would bike ride all over the place. And now I talk to like suburban moms at work and suburban dads, and the kids don't go, they're not allowed
to go outside.
They're not allowed to go plus or minus two houses.
I know.
Because they're scared. What the hell are they scared of? Come on.
The pedophiles.
There's not that many of them. There are pedophiles when I was a kid, too. I met quite a few.
Did you? Hey, sharing more than we wanted to know.
Well, let me just insert something. I do have a couple gym observations, though, that kind of make me laugh. So I go to the gym a lot. And one of the things that makes me laugh is these people that wait and wait and wait for a good parking spot because they don't want to do
they
the
don't wanna
extra walk.
Walk
to get to the gym. What's up with that? You know, come on, take advantage and get a great workout in. Get a nice little brisk walk to start your workout. Prima donnas. But the other funny thing that happened was, so I was at the gym and this guy with like maybe a half head full of hair. I mean, he looked fine. He wasn't completely balding or anything. But I got in and he was sitting there combing his hair.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, first of all, it didn't look like it need comb. He had one of these kind of hairstyles, and his hair type was just he could pretty much shower and go, it looked to me.
Okay.
So he was sitting there combing his hair.
This was after he worked out.
Mm-hmm. After a shower.
And you're watching him.
Yep. Well, I kind of had him in the corner of my eye because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So he's combing his hair. I'm getting, getting ready for my workout. He's combing his hair, combing his hair, combing his hair. I swear, 10 minutes he was combing his hair. And when he was done, he looked just like he did when he began. And I sort of wanted to go up and ask him, what's going on, but it seems very insulting, right? But I wonder if he knows that 10-minute job really did nothing and nobody would really care. There was absolutely no difference between before and after. And I wonder if it's a habit back when he had a lot of hair and he needed to do that, and he just keeps the habit up. But I'm thinking he probably does that in the morning.
Uh-huh.
He probably does that maybe once or twice during his workday.
Right.
He probably does that at the gym, and then maybe he does it at night. So that's 4 times 40. That's 40 minutes of this guy's day that he could have back for absolutely no sacrifice. I just wanted to go up and say, you have such an opportunity here.
Maybe he's growing it back. Maybe he's trying to encourage its growth or something.
Yeah, maybe there's like teasing the hair or something that.
Maybe he's stimulating it.
I don't know.
I think it's interesting that you're observing him so carefully, Jeff.
I just couldn't believe it. I just wanted to go up and say, what are you doing? You don't need to do this.
Well, if he's listening to this,
go on, live your life.
Maybe he will recognize himself.
Get that 40 minutes back, dude. You have great hair that you can just. I mean, it wasn't bad. He looked fine. You can just go, get up and go. He's had that kind of hair. It's awesome. He's lucky.
You ever combed your hair for 10 minutes?
Never. Mm. Never. I don't see what that would do. I mean, I've combed my hair for a minute maybe. I don't understand what the extra 9 minutes would ever do. Have you ever combed your hair for
that? Yes. I think women do comb their hairs for more than 10 minutes.
Okay. What do you get out of it?
Well,
it does get incrementally better and better, I guess.
Yes,
huh?
That's what you think, anyhow. You hope it happens.
Okay. Because I know just what's waiting there. A guy with too much body hair and a sharp propensity for displaying all of it. He's still here. He's still naked. I'd offer him a towel, but I don't think that he'd take it. Modesty doesn't mean a thing to him.
Something else that I thought is interesting these days is, I have a birthday approaching, and you didn't even realize that you're in the second half of your life. And
no, I did.
You did?
Yeah,
you
I
just
did.
Didn't want to admit it.
I've always said, hey, it's second half of my life.
Well, you're well into the second half of your life.
Let
me clarify that.
Thanks a lot, Gretchen.
Do you know how long Americans are living, Jeff?
Maybe,
in spite of the obesity and the smoking.
Maybe 75 to 80.
Actually, the highest that we've ever lived, 77.6 is the average.
Okay.
100 years ago, we lived 47 years. Hmm. So we'd be coming up on dying soon.
Yeah.
At least I would. I'll speak for myself.
We'd be coming up on dying. I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
White females live the longest, 80.5.
Oh, rub it in.
Black females, 76.1. Hmm. White males, 75.4.
And wait, how many years do you have on me? A couple? Wow.
Yes, I've got a few. And black males, 69.2.
Hmm.
So you sort of have to remember about the quality of life. You know, if you've been in a nursing home lately or an assisted living facility, it's a lot of these women who are living 80 and beyond, and
yeah.
It's predominantly women. And you just have to wonder, you know, is this really where I want to end up? And who will be taking care of me? And
well, I'll tell you, that's the thing about, I've thought about, you know, working out and having a healthy lifestyle. I don't really think of it in terms of like letting me live longer, because I figure I've got my 80 years plus or minus a bit. But I look at it as
diet and exercise do make you live longer.
Maybe so. But I think even more important than a couple of years here or there is the quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it 5 years of you can't get out of bed and you get bed sores and everything is, you know, painful?
Right.
Or is it 5 years of, you know, you can go for a walk. You might even be able to get on a plane and go see something, and
mm-hmm.
you may have some level of activity.
Right.
So.
Well, do you remember it was just a year ago when we were talking about Terry Schiavo?
Yeah.
Hard to believe it was just a year.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted to, you know, there was this big push for Living Wells. And
that's true.
Have your listeners done it?
Because
I've actually done it, and I'm going to tell you, it's a really hard thing to do.
Is it? I haven't done it.
You should think about doing it.
Well, why is it so hard?
Anybody who's going to have surgery or anybody who has children, you really need to do it, because there's any kind of possibility that something could go wrong and you could end up in a vegetative state. You really don't want to, if you care about the people around you, you don't want them to end up in an awful position where they have to make decisions that you guys never talked about.
Why was it so hard?
Because there's a form, and there's blank lines on the form, and you have to write down what you want to happen. And do you want to be fed? Do you not want to be fed? Do you want to, you know, just starve to death?
So what was hard about it was sort of actually thinking through that process and figuring out what you want.
Yeah. There's no multiple choices.
So what are you going to do?
It's blank lines, and you just write them down. And so, and then you go and have it signed, and then it's effective.
So what are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I said that I wanted... I think I said I wanted four opinions from four doctors, and then I wanted one particular person to pick the doctor that they most agreed with, and I didn't want to be fed, but I wanted morphine, and I wanted to go as quickly as possible, because I think there's more than just this body and this life. But
and did you come up with that sort of result on your own, or was that through some advisement, maybe, of consulting with other people?
At the time when she was totally in the news and they talked about how many doctors had given their various opinions and how conflicting they were, and at a certain point you just have to say, God, how many people do you really want to go through here?
Right.
And maybe I should have picked an odd number, but I picked an even number. And I told my friends, because I was going into surgery when I did it, and I think I did it specifically because what if something went wrong? I would not want my friends to be faced with this horrible, horrible decision of,
right.
you know, loving and caring about me and not knowing what to do and do that, you know, to leave me, you know, hanging for years and years. But I didn't want that to happen, so I wanted to make that really clear.
Yeah.
I just think that it's something, again, we don't talk about it anymore because that case is gone and it's not out of, you know, out of sight, out of mind, even though Michael Schiavo has written a book, and I hear that's his side of it, and he supposedly didn't make a penny off of anything. And so I just think that it's still important and something that you should do, especially if you're going to have surgery. Just it's an insurance policy, you know.
Yeah. You still hear stories where people have, you know, fairly easy surgeries that get botched up.
And make sure you know what your parents want. You know, my mother is constantly telling me that, you know, she's going to take care of her cremation expenses, and she wants to do this and she wants to do that. But I mean, she's being clear, and good for her, because I'm not going to have to like decide when it's a very emotional decision, you know.
Yeah.
So anyhow.
All right, how about a little more lighthearted fun from Jeff?
Sure. How about it?
Speaking of AIDS and living wills. Gretchen.
All right, I've got something fun then.
See if you get invited back. You're purveyor of gloom. No, I'm just kidding. I'm enjoying the conversation. All right, Google has this really cool thing out. Everybody's got to check it out. You can find out, you can put in a search term, and you can find out in a country, and you can find out, or you put in a search term, and you can find out where it's the most popular, like what countries that search term is the most popular. So I did a bunch of things. If you put in sex, for example, or anything related to sex, you pretty much get either Saudi Arabia or Pakistan. And no, you do. You do. You do. And
But I didn't think they had sex there.
Well, they don't. But that, I think that's the point. I think the fact that they're so repressed that they go looking for it. But here's the funniest thing. And I didn't do this search term because I would never have thought of doing it. But if you type in new anal movies, You get Saudi Arabia. Now, why would anybody type in new anal movies? What was the matter with the old anal movies? Now, what is that? What is that? I guess they're looking for porn.
Specific porn.
It's very specific, not the old stuff. Pakistan was, you know, remember the Danish cartoons?
So, oh, yes.
So
yes,
they
yes.
were, if you put in Danish cartoons, Muhammad. You get Pakistan. But they also lead in the rankings for sex with their neighbor and nuclear rival India, seldom far behind. So anyways, I looked through a bunch of these, but I really didn't write them down. But you get some.
You were looking entirely for sex. Is that right?
Well, no, because I would just try to pick really outrageous things. And most outrageous things I thought of were sort of sex-related, but I can't remember now exactly. The other thing is Google is getting into video, trying to compete with YouTube. And, you know, where Google goes, a lot of popularity. A lot of people...
follow.
A lot of people follow. So as a release of the film The Breakup with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn, which, mm-hmm. by the way, has gotten...
Bad reviews.
Thumbs down reviews. Mm-hmm. Not surprisingly. It's too bad. It looked like it had a cute premise. But anyways, they are promoting... Well, let me read this. Make sure I get it straight here. They're promoting breakups by asking people to upload their breakup video. Okay? So, and...
And so that means that's assuming that you're filming your video while it's... You're filming it while it's happening.
How do you film your breakup? Okay. Here's the video camera. What's going on, honey?
Let's have an argument.
What's going on, honey? Well, I really want to get number one on Google. So, and June 2nd.
There are some very actually funny things because you always see like people throwing things out the window or there was one.
Oh, it can be funny.
One that I saw in Germany, or no, it was in England. This woman spray painted her ex's car. And what did it say? Something about the size of his penis, and she spray painted it into,
on the car?
All over the car, the whole way around it. And it was parked in front of the gym at the time.
I forgot to tell you, we don't say penis on the show.
Oh. Sorry, did we say?
I'm just kidding.
we just said anal sex.
No, we didn't say anal sex. Now, that's disgusting, but we said anal movies.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. There's no censorship.
Really? This is the internet, right?
This is the internet. Anything goes.
Right.
At least for a while. Until Alberto Gonzalez gets to us.
Because if you go... Then I'll be blue. Breaking up is hard to do. Remember when you held me tight.
What is the average age of your listener? Do you know?
We've never done a demographic survey. I think, you know, since Pat and I really, most of the listeners come from the Pat and Jeff era.
Okay.
And Pat and I are both in the 40s. And I would imagine because we have a little bit, I don't want to say mature because that makes it sound really boring, but we sort of have, you know, kind of a single hip middle age. I'm deep. I'm reaching here, guys.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm guessing somewhere in the upper 30s, low 40s.
Okay. Well, that's the perfect...
Probably mid-30s because, you know, the average internet edge of the internet is just kind of low.
Okay. So that's true.
And podcasts. I mean, you never heard of a podcast. And most of my friends never heard of a podcast.
Actually, I will tell you this week I was listening to Letterman, or mm-hmm. watching Letterman, and he and Paul Schaefer were having a big discussion about what the hell a podcast was.
Really?
They absolutely did not know.
Oh, that's funny.
They really did not know. And people who have asked me say, do you have to have an iPod? I mean, it's just so, that word is so tied in.
That's the number one question, right? And of course you don't.
Absolutely not. So I did figure that out.
All right.
Sorry, so here I thought I would talk to your listeners, especially the male listeners. So you can say your version for the female listeners.
Okay.
But this is... these are purely my observations, but I will say that I do have a lot of single girlfriends, too.
Okay.
And some of this is based in surveys, but some of it is my observations.
Great.
But would you like to know what I think the five most common first date mistakes are made by men who are old enough to know better?
We would love to know. I'm going to keep track here. And how many of these have I done?
Well, let's take the present company out of it. But I would say the first thing I've observed, and I guess because I would say I date a lot and I I certainly have firsthand experience, plus then I talk to my friends. For the most part, men do a really poor job of picking a location for a first date.
Okay.
They just don't put enough thought into it, and they don't pick something that reflects their personality.
Ah.
And if you're trying to impress someone, maybe don't pick a family restaurant where there might be French fries flying. Well, even though Dallas has a plethora of nice family restaurants, as
already
talked,
bring the kids.
38% of them are going to be loaded with children. But, you know, the sports bar is probably not a good place either, unless you decided you were going to go watch the game. Certain things like that, it's just not going to go for a really great first date atmosphere.
Now, see, I don't think I've committed that one, so
no,
I think I'm in good shape.
I think you're probably pretty good there.
Yeah.
And the second one, I think this one is definitely based on surveys, because, guys, I got to tell you, it's getting harder for you because women are choosing men based on attractiveness now, not necessarily money, because we are more self-sufficient and we don't need men. So we want pretty men, or shall I say handsome men. So I would just suggest taking a good look in the mirror, because, you know, with the whole advent of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, it's become cool to be a metrosexual man, and it's become cool to actually get a pedicure and to have your laser hair surgery removal and to have bleaching, and you're doing everything that we do on a regular basis, and now you're seeing, you talk about the guy combing his hair for 40 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Now you see what women have to go through in order to be, somebody who's, you know, pretty attractive. And now what's amazing is we're asking the same thing of men. And I think a lot of 40-year-old guys are not getting it, at least based on what I've seen.
Hey, what are you saying? What are you saying?
Shoot.
That's a very good observation. So guys, get out there, get to the gym, feel better by yourself, and look good.
That's right.
And
ask yourself, you know, would you really want to kiss what you see in the mirror? Because I'm going to tell you, the first thing women look at, and men don't
you
realize
don't,
that.
You don't understand men. Men look in the mirror and we go, ooh la la,
oh,
you're
that
looking
is,
good.
I totally agree with you
there. You are looking so hot.
Okay, ask a buddy for an honest opinion, okay?
That's a good point.
Oh my Lord. These men who think they are just unbelievable. All right, but the first thing we notice, just so you know, are your teeth. So please, come on. You know, believe it or not, I know you think that, that's not what we notice, but that really is what we notice. And you have to have a great smile. And I'll tell you, these days, there's no excuse for bad teeth. Cosmetic surgery, go take care of it.
Yep. So,
and the second thing we notice, which most men don't know, which I'll give you a hint here, are shoes.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
And you've got to wonder, what's up with the shoes? But think about it. It's the very first thing that you ever had to choose after you left the clutches of mom.
Right.
You had to actually put your personality into what you were going to wear. You had to make a choice. You had to decide, what were you going to do? Were you going to go?
So how do you like my new sandals?
Those are very interesting.
They're kind of cool.
They are interesting. You know, there's a lot of leather there.
I knew you'd like that.
They're covering your entire foot.
I'm wrapped in animal carcass.
Yes, you are. And enjoying it, too.
Yeah.
Probably paid a lot for it. Shoes just express your individuality. And you can really, if you think about it, what are you trying to convey? Again, are you trying to convey, like, the tasseled loafer kind of look because that's the kind of guy you are? Or are you, like, an Italian shoe guy who wants something a little different? I mean, it's just really, when you think about it, because you kind of look at what women wear. I know you do. And,
sure.
You know, why? Again, the double standard. So.
Yeah.
So, and...
All right. Keep going. These are good. This is definitely going to help our listeners.
No, okay. But I'm sure you'll have some thoughts for women, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking.
Please turn off your cell phone and do not turn it back on unless your mother is on her deathbed. Okay? Turn it off the entire time, because I actually, one of my friends went out with a guy. He took 4 calls in a row.
Now that's rude.
That was incredibly rude.
I have left the cell phone on
previously.
She stood
up and she left. And,
oh, good.
But I would have dropped the phone in a glass of water and then left, because that just was totally inappropriate.
That's
and
so
he was rude. He was incredibly rude. But turn it off unless you're expecting a very important call, and just say so up front.
At the same time, I got to say, obviously, the guy's not interested in the woman, and obviously he's an ass. So it's almost kind of good to know that right off the bat on a first bed date.
That's a good point, though.
So
that's a good point, even though it is incredibly.
I mean,
rude.
He could have avoided doing it because he's trying not to be rude, but then you don't find out he's an asshole jerk till the fifth date.
He didn't even have to talk to her for her to find that out.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
And my last point, if you really want to make some points, is just compliment somebody. If you hope to see somebody again, just say something nice. Anything nice, something nice.
Yeah.
It's not hard to do. It's really not.
That's a ditto for
women. And you're
actually
very good at it, Jeff.
Oh,
I've heard you say nice things to people.
Thank you.
So
that's a good ditto. If I have to come up with a list, I don't have the time to think about this, but I would say,
but
yeah.
You've certainly had your share, so I'm yeah, sure I've had, you can kind
I,
of
I
think
know, but I just have to think of, on the top of my head, what's the biggest dating mistakes that women do.
Yeah, what do women do that drives you crazy?
I think it's really nice, and I think it's just socially a convention. I like to be asked about myself.
Uh-huh.
You know, so tell me a little bit. Wow, you do this weird podcasting thing. Tell me a little, what the heck is that? Or if I mention something that's a little bizarre, yeah, I like to go see movies. What kind of movies do you like? I mean, that sounds lame, but... just ask me a little bit about myself.
What are you looking at on Google?
yeah. What are you looking on Google these days? That's a good one. But yeah, and maybe that's a result of what I hear is that men usually on a date just blah 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 blah. They're stop me when you find something interesting. They'll just keep talking and talking and talking. I'm not that kind of person.
Some of them are intimidated and can't say two words. But.
Yeah, maybe that might be true. I'm not that kind of person. I like. Dialogue, I'm kind of normal. I just like, hey, I want to find out more about you, and gee, it'd make me feel nice if you wanted to find out more about me. And if you don't want to find out more about me, it tells me A, you're just not interested, or B, you don't have very good social skills, in which case I'm really not interested because, that's weird. How would I introduce you to my friends and family?
Well, that is the thing that does guarantee a long marriage is you have to be able to talk to the person.
Exactly.
Beauty is going to fade, but boy, if you can't talk to them, it's just not going to last.
Yeah.
That's what every study says.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm big on studies, Joe.
The other advice I would say to all you women is definitely pay for the first date. I mean, it's just ridiculous that we have to pay for everything. I'm kidding.
I would say pay for the second date, ladies, but
actually,
I think you should pay for the first one.
Most men love to pay for dates because it's just what we do and it's our convention, and we love to pay for the company of a beautiful, charming woman.
They'd like to pay. I think most men begrudgingly pay.
No, that's not my way I feel. I feel like it's a compliment for me to be able to pay for the company of a... Ooh, that sounds like an escort. Okay, let me rephrase this.
It certainly does.
Let me rephrase
that. So what's your going rate? What do you pay? What are you paying these
days?
But,
I do have to say, after the second or third date, it's really nice to hear, hey, can I get some of that? Or can I get that this time? Even the guy can refuse, and that's good. Mm-hmm. But, boy, it's sure nice to
That's true. And ladies, if you're out there working and we talk about we want quality,
yeah.
I think you've got to really step up to the plate here, and it's not all about being taken out.
Yeah.
It's nice to take a guy out. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I think most of them enjoy it.
We love it.
So that was lighter.
That was lighter. I'm disappointed.
Dinner was great, but I've got to let you go. You were the guy for me. I thought this is the one. Then I saw your apartment and I started to run. Went so well at first. All that I.
All right, I got one more thing before we leave.
Okay.
DC Comics. Are you familiar with DC Comics at all?
Yep.
All right. Starting in July, they're coming out with a new Batwoman comic.
Okay.
And they're turning Batwoman into a. Drum roll, please. A lesbian. I kid you not.
And what will her partner be called?
Here's the deal. They're resurrecting the classic comic book. She's 5'10", superhero. She's now has red hair, knee-high red boots with spiked heels, and a form-fitting black outfit.
You like her already.
I'm going to go run out and get that comics. So we decided to give her a different point of view, said Dan DiDio of DC Comics. And apparently they're just going to try to... make DC Comics a little bit more open, I guess.
Come on, they're playing into every man's fantasy.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Come on.
What women read comic books? It's all dorky men, right?
Men who live in the basement of their parents' home.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't even see that in the story. You got it. You're right. I was trying to think, they're being, cool and trying to... They're trying to introduce more Afro-Americans and Asians and Hispanics into their comics.
So that's going to be her posse, huh?
But you're right.
She's going to hang with the girls.
Yeah. Now, apparently they're linking her up to a woman. I'm sorry. Renee Renee Montoya is the woman that she had a past love affair with. And Renee Montoya apparently originally was the former police detective. So anyways, in July, look for
red hair and spiky red boots and lesbian loving lovers.
Yeah.
you're going to have that first copy, aren't you?
It ought to be good. I know. I should get it signed. Hey, well, that's going to do the show. Gretchen, you've been a fantastic co-host today. I appreciate you coming into this red-hot studio.
Yes. Well, thank you, Jeff, for inviting me.
No problem. And, hey, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.